All right, it's Dave Plyer in for Steve Brzanich and Steve Cochran here on 720 WGN. So this Labor Day, we are looking at a few long-term trends that are reshaping the labor market. And joining us to break that all down is Heather Long. She's the economics reporter for The Washington Post. Good morning to you, Heather.
Good morning. Happy Labor Day.
Thank you. I know on Labor Day, I'm dragging you out of bed, Heather. You have to work on Labor Day. I'm so sorry. Hey, listen, I got to ask you. So right now, the United States has a record 6.2 million job openings. It's the highest number since the Labor Department began tracking job postings back in 2000. At the same time, there are 7 million unemployed Americans. That's almost one job for every person searching for a role. What is the fundamental problem right now that we're seeing that are keeping these numbers apart from one another?
Well, there's two problems there. And one is that the job openings are not necessarily located where the people looking for work are. So we maybe need to have some people move to different areas, or some employers think a little bit differently about where they need to relocate. And the second problem that we hear a lot about is whether people have the right skills. So I am not very great with computers. I couldn't just go and take a job in Silicon Valley. So even though we have these job openings, can people really do them?
But part of the skill set here that we're talking about, too, you know, there was a time in high school where you were taught shop, vocational training of some sort. That's kind of gone by the wayside. And I think the expectation of a lot of young people, you know, they know and have been taught what kind of a glamorous job is and where they could make real money. But, you know, the skilled workmanship that we need out there. And I think about what's happening in Houston and what is going to have to be rebuilt down there. When you talk about 100,000 homes, is there enough people accessible in the United States with those skills to go down there and be able to rebuild at this point?
You've hit on a great one. There already are skill shortages in the construction sector. We've been hearing that for months from contractors across the country. I keep in touch with one in the Michigan area, and he keeps sending me a text a day or an email a day of, I can't find roofers for my company. I just can't find people who have the skills I'm looking for. And so, and you're right. And now we've exacerbated that with Hurricane Harvey and all that rebuilding that's going to need to be done. So there's we're hoping that means that there will be higher wages for some of these construction workers. But so far, we haven't seen a lot of evidence of that yet.
We almost have to put some money aside. And, you know, as President Trump's been talking about, you know, changing, obviously, the dynamics of the American workforce, is we got to put some money into training some of these people that to fill some of these jobs.
I think you're exactly right. The question is, who pays for that bill,
right?
That training bill? You know, should we, should workers who want a job foot some of that bill? Should the employers go back to the more old-fashioned system of doing apprenticeships and taking some of that burden on? Or should it be the school system? Do we need public money? So realistically, we probably need all of the above.
I was going to say all of the above. Great combination. 5 to 10 jobs the government projects will grow fastest over the next decade pay less than $25,000 a year, something you wrote about. The jobs have titles such as personal care aide, home health aide, food preparer. There's a bit of a wage gap, and potential employees say that jobs don't pay enough. Employers say workers aren't dedicated and loyal. It's kind of a vicious cycle we're going through right now.
Yeah, there is definitely some evidence. I hear almost every time I write about the labor market, I hear from folks who are older, who are over 50, and they feel they're being discriminated against. They're ready to work. They maybe have good resumes, many years in the workforce, and they don't feel they're being given an adequate chance. So there's a number of things that are going on. Somebody reminded me that back in the late 1990s, in that boom time, was the last period that really felt like what we're in now. And people used to put out signs. Somebody put out one in Atlanta area that said something along the lines of, we'll take anyone who breathes.
Yeah,
so desperate for labor.
People are. Well, you know, and Trump talks about wanting
to open their eyes.
Sure. And the president keeps talking about creating 25 million new jobs. I mean, we have 7 million unemployed. There's some that have left the job market permanently just out of frustration, or they just can't find any work. So, I mean, there would be jobs out there for those who wanted to get back into it. But again, half of the jobs in America currently pay less than $18 an hour. And that's according to the Labor Department. That's about $37,000 a year if someone works full time. 40% of jobs in the country pay less than $15.50, according to the Economic Policy Institute. And, you know, President Trump campaigned on bringing back pay over $20 an hour on average. How do we get there?
Well, he's very much hoping that given the conditions we're in and that you and I have just been talking about the last few minutes, that the market will naturally, that employers and businesses will naturally start to raise wages. That's what's supposed to happen right now. So there's a lot of confusion among economists and experts about why it isn't happening. You know, some people blame all these jobs going overseas. Other people blame robots. So if you're going to the fast food restaurant, I don't know about you, but when I go to Panera now, I don't make my order to a person. I make it on a machine.
Right.
So a lot of companies are saying, hey, you want $20 an hour? I'm not going to pay you that. I'm just going to install a machine.
Right. Exactly. So we're seeing a lot of that as well. We're talking to Heather Long, economics reporter for The Washington Post. There's more. State player on 720 WGN. We're talking to Heather Long, economics reporter for The Washington Post, about the state of the labor market on this Labor Day. So after reviewing, Heather, where we are at from a jobs perspective, you note that the U.S. economy, of course, is getting better. Food stamps usage is down. It's a good way to kind of indicate that. And spending on entertainment, everything from Netflix to Disney World trips, all of that is up.
Yeah, overall, things are definitely looking better, even for the job market. When you look, we've added 2 million jobs since Labor Day last year. So a lot of people have gotten hired, and we're seeing a lot more people switch jobs. So and usually people don't quit a job unless they think they can get another job that's better. So another one I like, you pointed out food stamps are down, entertainment spending is up. All of that is pretty good indicators. Another one I like that I hear both anecdotally and we can see in the data is sometimes the waiters haven't been the best when you go to local restaurants.
Sure.
And again, that's another good sign that the folks who used to have those jobs are now getting better jobs.
Interesting. I wouldn't even have thought that. Yeah. You were, the average American household now spends more than about $3,000 a year on record high in entertainment. Families in the bottom 20% decreased their entertainment purchases, mainly because they ended up paying more for food and rent. Instead, it was the middle class, those with incomes from $30,000 to $80,000, who bumped up their spending on extracurricular activities. But I'm looking at the breakdown that you had on the food stamps. You know, they spiked, of course, after the Great Recession. Nearly 48 million people relied on the SNAP program in 2013, which was an all-time high. Since then, businesses have gone on a hiring spree. As more people get jobs or dropping out of SNAP, it's dropped to 41.5 million. And it's important that to note that even before this recession, it was about at 30 million. So we're starting to inch toward the levels that we were at over 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's definitely true on the food stamp program. We may not get back to 30 million. Both Republican and Democratic president and administrations have been trying to get more people on food stamps. And what I mean by that is the number of people who qualify and actually receive food stamps was very low for many years. So there was an effort by both across the political spectrum to say, we have this program, we want to make sure people get fed in this country. And so they were actively going out to find ways to ensure that people who need it are qualifying and receiving that food aid.
Robert, you're on 720 WGN. You've got a really great point to make here. Good morning.
Good morning. I've always owned my own companies ever since I've graduated college. And I wanted to just occupy my time. And I went to McDonald's in Hinsdale, and they said, we'll get you in the management program. I go, really? I just want to work here. Because I can write my no, we'll get you. So what do people do when you're over the age of 55? I've been blessed because I bought some very good stocks back in the day. But people who are over 50, they don't want us, and they don't have the guts to look at you. I mean, I have a church kitty corner from me. They didn't even want to hire me at $10 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the guts to say, you're too old. Get out of here. You're dead to us. What do people do when you're over the age of 55 and you want to work and no one wants to hire you, even though I have 10 corporations under my belt? I mean, my God, Ben, you know, I graduated with a degree in nuclear physics, and today it isn't worth anything.
But one of the things that I think you have to do when you're in that situation, too, is, of course, you do have to reinvent yourself a little bit and figure out what you want to do. What you did in the previous 20 years might be something, you know, you're going to have to look at what you need to do for the next 20 if you want to keep on working. Heather, do you have any thoughts on that?
Honestly, I hear from a lot of people who are in a similar situation. I think it's a real problem in this country. And I would just say some of the happiest workers that I've met who are over 50 have actually taken gig economy jobs. They drive for things like Uber or Lyft, and they enjoy the flexibility. They enjoy meeting people. And it was never a job they thought they would do, but they're making more than $10 an hour doing it.
Exactly. The U.S. economy grew at 3% at a 3% pace in the April to June quarter. The Commerce Department said last week. Trump was very excited about that. This was the strongest quarterly growth for the United States in more than 2 years, and was driven by U.S. families and businesses opened their wallets a little wider, taking all the jobs in a given industry. Tech comes out on top. In fact, tech-related industries are the only ones that really break the $100,000 mark when it comes to median compensation. Manufacturing coming in third with a median compensation of $85,000. Media and communications is at the lower end of the scale, and education, frustratingly, is always at the bottom of the list.
You make a great point about education. There's a huge debate about whether we're paying our teachers, and particularly our early education teachers, enough. Same thing with healthcare. That's another industry where people always think, oh, doctors, they get paid so much. But as you noted before, a lot of those jobs, some of the fastest growing job areas in America, are things like home healthcare aid. And those jobs are paying very little an hour, like $25,000 a year or less.
Yeah.
So you know, then it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem for President Trump, as he really not just wants to add jobs, but add what he calls good paying jobs. And most people, I spent last year traveling the country during the campaign, and if you ask people what's a good paying job, most people are thinking $20 an hour.
Yeah. Median compensation in Chicago here is $79,000. An electrician is at the top of that list at $130,000. But again, matching job openings to the unemployed. We just got to figure out how we match up that skill set. Heather Long with The Washington Post, appreciate your time this morning, and go back to sleep. Have a nice Labor Day.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, Heather.